Welcome back to the Paul to Timothy Institute podcast. I'm Dr. Mike Oney, and today we are in the middle of a series, part five of the series, Final Words for Future Leaders. Now, this series is taken dominantly from John 13 through 17, those five chapters, which represent about 10 hours that Jesus spent dominantly with 11 of his leaders whom he is about to turn the leadership of the church to. So it is a powerful teaching, and it is really worthwhile for us to saturate ourselves in the context of these chapters of Scripture. And specifically today, on part five, we're going to look at four secrets about abiding in the vine. I call them secrets because I'm not sure that they are done prolifically enough. Let's get started. Let me share with you an observation that I've made about ministers and how we tend to make decisions in our ministry career. In the beginning of our getting started years, our response to the voice of the Spirit in our hearts is focused on an attitude of, I must. You relate, don't you? If the Lord spoke to you, it didn't make any sense at all. But your attitude often came out with, well, I don't understand it, but I must. Secondly, for those who move into maturity years, when God speaks, our attitude when God is emphasizing a point of obedience is, I will. And that is absolutely the most mature response. But I can tell you, and this has creeped into my life and during seasons and possibly yours, for those who have followed at times in seasons their own comfort to become, say, more important or to hold on to a position, we easily in those seasons can substitute the conviction of God for the convenience of the moment. And our attitude becomes, I might, when God speaks. Those three attitudes, I must, I will, and I might, typify our lives probably at any time in our walk with the Lord. If we move into the I might, maybe yes, maybe no, let me look at it, let me weigh it, let me see if it fits what I want right now. If we move into the I might when God speaks, we typically have allowed natural wisdom to replace the voice of divine conviction in our hearts. Alicia Bricholie, from her book Intimate Conversations, said this, fear is a master of disguise. She introduces herself as caution, and we sit at her feet. She introduces herself as wisdom, and we listen to her, unguarded. She introduces herself as just being prepared, and we invite her to help us plan for the future. Living with an attitude of I might when God speaks is an absolute recipe for mediocrity in ministry. But I can give you this promise, and we're going to look at it very specifically in Scripture. Living with the attitude of I will when God speaks is an absolute guarantee. And I'm not saying that lightly. We'll look at it in Scripture. We'll look at the words of Jesus. It is a guarantee for the intervention of God to bring about His purposes in your life, in our lives. It is a really focused promise that Jesus gave. Henry Blackaby, in the book Experience God, shares a story that I think is just powerful of a church that rose up with an I will maturity when God spoke to them. He said this, one of our churches in Vancouver believed that God was calling them to begin three new mission churches with different language groups. The church had only 17 members itself. All human reason would rule out such a big assignment for such a small church. They were counting on money from the home mission board to pay the pastor's salaries. One pastor was already in the process of relocating when we received word, Henry said, that the board would not be able to fund any new work in our area for the next 3 years. The church didn't have the funds to do what God had called them to do. and they reached out to Henry Blackaby. Henry said, "I suggested that they first go back to the Lord and clarify their call. When they did, they returned and said, 'We believe God has called us to start all three new churches.' Now they had to walk by faith and trust God to be their provider." 6 years earlier, Henry led a series of campaigns in a church in California. During that time, there was an elderly woman that came up to him and said that she wanted to leave part of her estate for use in Vancouver missions. The secretary of the mission board reported that they had just received a letter from an attorney in California. The woman had died. The attorney informed them that they would be receiving a check for over $150,000. The amount was sufficient to pay for every new mission church that Vancouver church of 17 people had focused on. Henry goes on to say in his book, "Did God know what he was doing when he told a 17-member church to begin three new churches? Yes. Did he know that the funds would not be available from the mission board? Yes. Did God know that the funds would be available from another source exactly when they were needed? Yes. None of these details caught God by surprise. He is all-knowing. This small," Henry said, 17-person church in Vancouver that believed God, they believed God was right when he called them to a huge assignment. What a wonderful illustration of a church group of leaders, 17 total in the church, that rose up and said, "I will," to the conviction point of the Holy Spirit when the Lord asked them to plant new churches. How easy it would have been to fall into the reasonable camp of "I might." Now, let me give you four secrets, and again, I call them secrets because they're not used enough. Let me give you four secrets about abiding in the vine, and then we'll briefly look at each one. One, two, three, four. One, we are required to abide in the vine by obedience. Two, we have a promise that abiding in the vine will cause us to be hugely fruitful. Three, we have been promised the help of the Father to help us abide in the vine. Four, we have a choice as to whether we will abide in the vine or not. Now let's look at them. Number one, we are required to abide in the vine by obedience. Take a look, John 14:23. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him." Let me go back again to the progression into nominality that often takes place about practical obedience in the life of a ministry leader. In the beginning of our getting started years, our response to the voice of the Spirit in our heart is often focused on, "I must do that. God has spoken. Doesn't make any sense to me, but I must." Secondly, if we move into the maturity years, our attitude shifts to, "I will," when God speaks. But during seasons when our comfort, getting elected, appeasing people, remaining safe becomes the all-important focus of our life, I am telling you, when God speaks, we don't necessarily ignore him. We simply begin responding with, "I might." Those three attitudes, "I must," "I will," and "I might," should be focused on, and "I might" must be absolutely guarded against. I love the advice that Henry Blackaby told that 17-member church. He told them, "Go back and see if the Lord has indeed spoken to you to put your faith in him for a specific outcome of those three churches." They went back, they came and said and prayed, sought God, and determined God has spoken, and this 17-member church accepted a huge mandate for fruitfulness in the Spirit. We are required to abide in the vine by obedience. Now, take a look at the second one. Major emphasis from Jesus during these 10 hours with his 11 leaders. Secondly, we have a promise that if we abide, we will be hugely fruitful. John 15, 4 and 5, abide in me. Notice the command, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, I want you to tie two things together. In the first point that I made, where I said that we are required to abide by obedience, in John 14, 23, listen now to what Jesus said again. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Now, in John 15, 4, abide, the command, abide in me and I in you. Abide is a verb there. Abide is the verb meno in the Greek, and it's a root word. Do you know that in John 14, 23, when Jesus said, if you obey, my Father and I will come and make our home. Home is a Greek word, mene. And that Greek word is a noun. So do you see what's going on here? In John 14, 23, Jesus told them to abide by obedience. And then in John 15, verse 4 and 5, and by the way, several other verses beyond that as well, he emphasized, you must abide. So put it together. We have a promise that if we will abide, we will be hugely fruitful. So what is the promise in detail? If we will abide by obedience, when he speaks to us, we will be hugely fruitful. Let's look at the third point now. We have been promised help from the Father to help us abide. Let me show you that in one verse. John 15, verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Bruce Wilkinson, in his book, Secrets of the Vine, and other scholars as well, have done a great job in helping us understand this verse. When Jesus said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, the Greek word literally means to lift up in most settings. And the emphasis is on restoring us when we fail. Secondarily, when Jesus said, every branch, same verse, John 15, 2, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. The emphasis is on creating dependence upon the Lord in our lives. He prunes us. He takes away often support structures around us. So do you catch it? In your life and in my life, you can guarantee there are one of two things happening at any point in time. The Father is helping us. How? He is restoring us in different areas of our lives and many times in a very focused way. Or secondarily, he is creating circumstances that cause us to be dependent upon him. Sometimes that happens simply when we accept the mandate to do something that is beyond the natural means that we have to do it. Let's move into just a practical application for today. Guard against, and you as a ministry leader, you know well that these three attitudes need to be identified in our life. Are we living with an attitude of I must when God speaks, I will when God speaks? Those are great attitudes. But you know that we have to guard against I might, because when I might becomes our attitude, I can tell you security, self-security is probably driving our lives. These four secrets, I call them secrets, about abiding are really applicable. Jesus made a big deal of them. We are required to abide in the vine by obedience. We have a promise that abiding in the vine will cause us to be hugely fruitful. We have a promise, thirdly, that the Father will help us abide in the vine, restoring us and creating dependence within us. Fourthly, we have a choice as to whether we will abide, and that's my fourth emphasis. we have the choice as to whether we will abide in the vine or not. So going back to Jesus' command, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in me, so neither can you unless you abide in me. There's a wonderful hymn written in 1857 by James D. Burns. It's wonderful to me by reading it. I really don't know the music behind it, and it's probably sung in some churches that are just outside of my scope. But one line from it is beautiful. It says this, "Oh, give me Samuel's ear, the open ear, O Lord, alive and quick to hear each whisper of thy word. Let him to answer at thy call and to obey thee first of all." Let me close out with this. A number of years ago, there was a young second grader in Kalamazoo, Michigan, attending a Dutch Christian school. And one day, as he was sitting at the edge of his seat, ready to go out to recess, it was on that occasion that his teacher, she'd always told this little Bible story or a Bible story, right before recess. It wasn't Billy's favorite time. He's ready to get to recess. But he sat there and he listened that day. And he said, "I was poised and ready to go out and play ball when Miss Zolan read a little text from the Old Testament about a young boy named Samuel who heard a whisper in the night. He didn't know what to do with it. So he went to an older prophet and said, 'Did you call me, Eli?' And Eli said, 'I didn't. Go lay down.' Samuel lies down. He hears it again. He gets up, goes to Eli. 'Did you call me?' 'I didn't.' 'Go lie down now.' This happened three times. Finally, Eli thought that the young lad might be hearing from the Lord. And he told him, 'The next time that that happens, son, just simply say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening."' That's exactly what happened in the story. God whispered some information to little Samuel, conveyed as a very important message to the young man. Miss Zolan, the teacher, read that story, and then she made a few comments on it, and then she dismissed everybody for recess. And Billy said, all of my buddies ran out real fast, and he would normally be the ringleader of them. He didn't run out fast that day. He didn't run out immediately at all. He went up to Miss Zolan's desk and asked the question, "Do you think that God still whispers to little boys?" And she asked him why he would even ask such a thing. And he said, "Because this little second grade boy, because if God would whisper to little boys, that would be just about the coolest thing that I could ever imagine happening." She talked with Billy for a moment. She actually took his question very seriously. And she said, "Billy, before you leave today for home, I'd like you to come by and I'm going to have something for you after recess, but I want you to take it home tonight and look at it in your own time. And then come back tomorrow, and if you'd like, you can tell me what you thought of it." And she sent him out that day with a little envelope. And when he got back the next day, Miss Zolan went up to him and said, "I bet you didn't even read that little poem that I gave you." "Oh," Billy said, "I sure did. Can you tell me what it was about?" And she was testing him a little bit. He said, "Well, as a matter of fact, I memorized it." She said, "You didn't." He said, "I really did." She said, "Recite it to me." And he recited the little poem that she gave him. "Oh, give me Samuel's ear, an open ear, O Lord, alive and quick to hear each whisper of thy word. Let him to answer to thy call and to obey thee first of all." Can I tell you what Samuel's attitude was? Really does, you know that well. Make sure you're not living in an I might focus of your life. Rather, radically commit to I must and I will, because I want to leave you with the guarantee again. If you do, you will be abundantly, hugely, wonderfully fruitful. You may not understand it in the moment, but I'm telling you. it's coming. This is Mike Oney, president of Paul to Timothy Institute, encouraging you to head over to paultotimothy.com. Take advantage of some resources that we have designed just for you there at paultotimothy.com.